Everyone, we are back. It's another episode of Inside Boxing presented by PPV.com in association with Uncrowned and Yahoo Sports. It's Dan Canobio. It is Chris Algieri, and we're coming to you off of the heels of Sebastian Fundora dominating Keith Thurman. Six-round stoppage. He retains his 154-pound title at WBC, and he looked pretty damn good in the process. Keith Thurman, probably the end of his long, illustrious career. We also had Moses Atalma put a hurting on Jermaine Franklin, which we'll get to as well. But we start with Sebastian Fundora putting the beat down on Keith Father Time Thurman. Chris Algieri, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Late night of fights, obviously. My show on ProBox TV, calling those fights, got done calling with Christina Poncher and Pauline Malignaggi. Great team. Fantastic fights tonight, as always, on ProBox TV. But yes, we're talking Fundora and Thurman. Not great fights. Not as good as a card as we had expected. But yeah, I mean, I had been speaking to some people in Fight Week, and this is kind of expected in terms of the performance. But I don't know. Fundora looked good. I thought he looked smarter than usual. I thought the progression that we saw in the Tim Zhu rematch was apparent once again. You know, he had the little bit of push pull. He was getting better at using his length and his size to his advantage, which was silly that he used to always give it up. But also, he is a destructive puncher, and he's very smart in the way that he utilizes his weaponry. You know, the guy can land a short uppercut from halfway across the ring. You know, he can hit you at any point in the ring because he's that tall and long. You know, he throws a rear uppercut from long range. He throws a lead uppercut from mid range. So he's a wildly dangerous puzzle to figure out. And Keith had no answer. And I guess in hindsight, that's probably not that surprising. Keith was not a 54 pounder. But yeah, it was underwhelming, I should say.
I expected a little more from Keith. Talks the big game, you know, had that illustrious run at 147. But ultimately, like I said, Father Time over one time. Father Time gets everybody. He just looks slow. The legs weren't there. And also, you're fighting a guy, like you said, with the 80-inch reach and is also knows how to use it now. That's what we're seeing from Fundora is first couple of fights of his career when he was fighting on TV. It was like, all right, look, who is this freak? Look at this tall guy, and he was like Bambi. He could barely walk and move at the same time. And we slowly watched him grow up before our eyes and gain more momentum and gain more confidence. And then the first Zhu fight was impressive. The second Zhu fight is where I think now Fundora can settle in now, and this is like what he's going to be. He's going to be a guy that pumps his jab. He's going to be a guy that throws power shots and lands power shots. I mean, his jab was really impressive. He threw 44 jabs per round in this fight. We're talking about a guy that never used to throw the jab. We always wondered, why does he fight on the inside when he has a bajillion-inch reach advantage over his opponents? But he's now settling in, and he started with the jab, and then he didn't even get out of first gear. Like, did you see? I didn't see Fundora exert any extra energy in this fight. He stuck behind his jab and threw short, concise power shots and just kept finding a home for them until the fight was ultimately stopped. I think Fundora is really coming into his own, but we got to see him now with an elite-level opponent. I mean, the Zhu, we've seen what Zhu has become. Obviously, Keith Thurman's at the end of his career. Fundora's 28 years old. He's an elite-level talent. We got to see him with an elite opponent, whether it's Virgil Ortiz, whether it's one of the names at 154. There's a lot to choose from. But that's outside of maybe his control. But, I mean, this guy, we're looking at a guy in Fundora who's really coming into his own at 28.
I don't agree. I don't think we learned a goddamn thing tonight. Keith didn't try to win. He didn't bring anything. You're talking about the evolution of Sebastian Fundora. He didn't have to show one. He didn't have to go out of first gear.
But he didn't fight out of his... He said after the fight, this is the biggest fight of my career, and I was nervous because of Keith Thurman. He didn't do anything outside of... You know, he fought his fight. I will say that. You're right. Thurman was atrocious.
What is his fight? Trying to walk down a guy who's...
Fundora.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, what is his fight? That's not his fight. That's not his fight. He didn't fight. There wasn't a fight tonight. It wasn't a fight. Thurman didn't fight.
I know he didn't fight,
I expected more of a fight as well, and I thought Thurman was going to try a lot more. You know, you could see right away his legs are not there. He was getting stopped with basically just an arm post by Fundora. He got stung with a left hand and got caught with a shot that was not hard at all. And even Fundora smiled afterwards, like, "Oh, dude, I didn't even hit you." And this is what we're going to deal with? This is what it's going to be? Okay. I don't think we learned a goddamn thing about Fundora tonight. I think we learned a lot more in the second Zoo fight. I don't know what this was. This was an exhibition of just, Fundora beating the old guard, I guess. And listen, I've heard people talking about, oh, he's going to fight Charlo next, then Spence. I don't want to see him fight any of these old guys anymore. Go fight the real guys. We're 54. There's a ton of studs. Go fight those guys. I don't want to see him run through the PBC gamut of the guys who are good 10 years ago. I don't want to see him with Spence. I don't want to see him with Charlo. I want to see him fight the studs that are in this division. Xander Zayas, Jaron Ennis, Virgil Ortiz, Bohochuk, Brandon Adams, Katsurakis. I want to see him fight tough guys. I don't want to rematch with Mendoza, which is like the lowest rung on the ladder.
Mendoza lost tonight.
So I know he did, but like it's still like he got knocked you out. Like go get that back.
No, I totally agree. You might not agree with me that I thought with the Fundora point, I think he stayed within his game plan, and obviously he wasn't going up against much, but that matters to me a little bit. But I will agree with you on the fact that he needs to fight someone around his age and someone around his skill level. That's the one thing I said to open up the show. Virgil Ortiz.
I felt bad for Thurman because he was throwing shots and missing by 18 inches because he's just his timing was off. He hasn't been in the ring.
His timing was off, and he didn't want to get inside. Like it was hilarious. Like they go, I think it was a fifth round, fifth heading.
His coach goes, "You can't stay on the outside; it's too dangerous. You got to get inside." And he was like, "All right, I get inside. Then what?"
It was actually hilarious. Morrow was like, "Easier said than done, corner man," because it was like you're not getting inside. Like it's the fifth round, and you haven't figured out a way. You're also 37 years old. You've made millions. Like that, getting inside on Fundora means you're going to get beat up even more than you're already beat up. His face was splattered.
So I thought the stoppage was early, and then I saw his face, and I was like, I see where the ref was coming from. I still thought it was early, and Keith did argue the stoppage, but
for about a second.
But he was getting hammered and Fundora was starting to turn on.
Like I said, he was in that first gear for a while. Maybe he would have gone to second gear and then put a real exclamation point on it. But Fundora outlanded Thurman 96-28. Thurman only landed 28 punches in this fight, 25 of them power shots. Fundora landed 50% of his power.
I
don't
think
he landed
that many. I think CompuBox was wrong. I didn't see that many punches land.
Now you're attacking CompuBox. What is going on here? 28 punches is not a lot of punches, Chris, in six rounds.
I know. I watched the fight.
That's four landed punches a round for Thurman. Point being is Fundora landed 50% of his power shots, and he threw 44 jabs a round. That is a recipe that I want to see him in there with elite level talent. That's a recipe that could have him beating some of the bigger names at 154. Put this fight in the rear view, and let's hope that Fundora steps in there with Virgil Ortiz. Virgil Ortiz needs a dance partner. Let's hope Virgil Ortiz figures it out with his promoter and Golden Boy.
They're gonna run him through the PBC gamut. Guarantee it.
So what? Who's it gonna be then?
Charlo, the one.
Charlo Fundora this summer?
I think there's an expectation that Spence is going to beat Zoo, and then we're going to get Spence and Fundora. This is a writing on the wall. We'll see if it happens. I mean, boxing is boxing, but yeah. They're going to run the PBC gamut.
Well, if you go through the top 10, I'm looking at the Ring magazine. Zayas and Boots is signed. They both pretty much confirmed it today on social media. It's waiting for the formal announcement.
But they did, but it was kind of like crypto. Like it was cryptic.
It was cryptic, but it's pretty obvious. Boots. I mean, they're both now interacting.
But why?
With each other.
But why not be like, I'm fighting this guy?
Probably because they need the DAZN to announce it first.
then why announce it at all? Why not?
They're fighting each other. Boots is fighting Zayas. So Virgil Ortiz is out there. Like we said, he's got promotional issues, so we don't exactly know. We're talking about potential opponents for Fundura. Madrimov, you got Josh Kelly, who's a champion. You got Murtaz Aliyev. You got Brandon Adams. You got Abbas Barao. This is the top 10. Then you also have, not in the top 10, and fighters that you believe Fundura will be fighting is an Errol Spence, who apparently is going to lock horns with Tim Zhu. And then Jermell Charlo, who was in attendance on Saturday night.
And has been in the gym. And has been shown in video. Yeah, you
see, he's been sparring with or training with Spence. With Spence.
Yep. Watch.
Yeah. Yeah, I would not be surprised. I mean, I know we know how the business works. I mean, we come on the show and we talk about what we want to see. That's why I think we have a successful podcast here, is because we say, this is what we want to see. This is what should happen. Fundura should fight Virgil Ortiz. Fundura should look for the winner of Zayas and Boots. But you hear him in the ring afterwards. He's such a good soldier, Fundura. Like, my dad is my manager. He's guided me along. You know, PBC has done so much for me. Samson Lucas has done so much for me. Yes, they have. But you see a guy in Fundura who, like, it almost like they tell him what it's going to be, and he just says, okay.
Yeah, he's a warrior. I don't knock him for that. I mean, he at one point of his career, he'll have to take the reins. But, like, right now, I get it. And listen, if they're going to feed you the old guard, you take it. But there's going to be a point where he's gonna be like, you know what, I actually am the best in the world, and I need to prove it, because there's other guys in this weight class who have championships. There's other guys in this weight class that people are saying are the best in the world. I got to go beat them. There's going to be a point where he does that, and he says that, and that's when there's going to be a real change. But for the time being, yeah, I mean, if you want to feed him these 37-year-old guys, former champions in different weight classes, then yeah, why not?
So now you're good with that Charlo fight then?
Oh, I'm not good with it, but I'm like, it's going to happen. I'm just. It's a foregone conclusion.
You're coming to terms with it.
I've been in terms with it. I came to this talk today, this TED talk that is going to be that these guys, and it's just that's just the way it is, and we have to accept it. The fact that he fought Keith Thurman is crazy. With all the talent in this division, you got to bring up a 47 pounder who had one fight at this weight class who has not been relevant in 5, 6, 7 years. Yeah, no, I mean. Come on. We like Keith. That's why we were like, yes, this fight is starting to make sense as you get closer to it. But then when you watch the fight, you're like, okay, that's what was always going to happen.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I thought that would be more moments, but.
Yeah, I thought Keith would go out on a shield at least.
He didn't want to, bro. He's got too much money. He's got too much. He's at the end of his career. This was the final payday for him. He didn't want to make it that type of fight. But yeah, obviously.
So you didn't want to make it that kind of fight, but you still got beat the fuck up, and your face got destroyed. They got hammered. Like, I mean, I was a guy who always went on my shield. I've got knocked out. I've been stopped. Like, I tried to win every fight I was ever been. Like, I tried to win. You know, like even when I was an old man fighting young guys, like I still tried to win. And listen, I got my head knocked off, but like. I go to sleep at night and I'd be like, yeah, I tried to win. You know, like, yeah, I made a lot of money too.
So you don't think Thurman tried to win?
Did he look like he tried to win?
No, I didn't. He had like one moment. He landed one good shot. Yeah, he's in the foot at the wrong range. He just stood in he was in like the middle. That's not where you want to be. No man's land is correct. That's where he was. You don't want to be in no man's land against Fundura.
And I said this about Fundura because it's really hard to fight. I'm not knocking Keith. It's really hard to fight Fundura because being all the way out and all the way in is such a huge gap. To be all the way out, you basically have to be in your corner and he's in his corner because he can hit you at any time. He's going to make you work hard. And in hindsight, thinking about this fight, you got a 37-year-old set of legs and Keith was not a head movement guy. He's not going to stand in front of you and be slick and make you miss. No, he was a footwork guy. He would make you miss by being out of range and being explosive and being athletic enough to like dive out of range and then slip, slide. You know, like he wasn't like a big head movement guy. He was more of a footwork guy and you explode in. That's a really tough style to make work at 37 when you've got a guy who can hit you from 75% of the ring. So, yeah, I mean, the writing was on the wall for this.
Who out there could beat Fundura?
Virgil. Jaron. I think Xander would have a lot of trouble with that style.
It's a tough style, man. It's a nightmare for everybody.
Absolutely, everyone.
That's what I was trying to say at the beginning. It's like he's like honing in his ridiculous attributes, and mentally he seems like he's locked in, and he's using his jab, and he's fighting smart, and then he is unloading. That's dangerous. This guy is dangerous, man.
I'm going out on a limb. He's number three to me. I have Virgil and Boots as the flip-flopping one and two. And he's number three. Zayas four. Strong four.
Nice, that's a great I really like
Zayas. I think he's an ever-improving fighter, and I think he's a nightmare for everybody as well. But yeah, no, that's my top four at 54.
That's crazy because two of those guys are fighting each other.
Yeah.
It's a tournament.
That's what we want. But I don't think we're not going to see Virgil for a long time. His arbitration is not for another 90 days.
Damn.
According to Rick Merigan. So
you're locked into the news now with your hosting these lives. You're more locked in than I am, because I didn't even know that.
I know. I'm a host now. It's crazy.
So I didn't actually know the Virgil situation. So 90 more days until he can even get to the table.
Arbitration, yep.
Yeah, Merigan, he really messed that up.
I don't know what the right answer is.
He tried something and it blew up in his face. They tried to dance around Oscar. They tried to make the fight without Oscar. They thought they had a loophole with the DAZN broadcaster, the lapse in the contract. And then it failed. It blew up in his face. There's no doubt about it. Like, Virgil was on the shelf now, and he's watching his super fight go out the window to a guy in Zayas Boots now this summer, not Virgil this summer.
Part of the thing is it's people underestimate Oscar, and you really shouldn't. He's a very smart guy.
He's got more money than Rick Merigian. He's got better lawyers.
He's also he's smart. He understands, and people are going to probably knock me for saying Oscar's smart, but you're wrong if you don't think he is. He's a very smart guy, and he's very aware. Yes, he says a lot of wild things. Yes, his delivery is really interesting. It's a nice,
very smart guy.
Yeah.
You're correct.
He's a very smart guy. He's very aware of this sport. He understands the business very, very well. And if you notice, he was never sweating the deal. He was never sweating the lack of network deal. And that always stuck out to me. I'm like, he doesn't seem too worried about not having this network deal. And then you look at Golden Boy, and they were still doing shows. They were doing one-offs in between the negotiating. Obviously, they were talking. Obviously, there was negotiating. Obviously, he knew there was a deal getting worked out with their lawyers. And he sat with that. And he held that over Rick and Virgil in terms of their situation. And I know they were holding that as a big point. Because, listen, you lose your network deal and you got a star, you got a big problem. It's part of the contract. He never sweat that. That was an indication that he has something in the works, and obviously he did because the deal got done. yeah, I mean, Oscar's got his own way about doing things. He is a former fighter, and a former fighter is a current fighter because fighters never die. So he still got that, but yeah, I don't know. I think people really underestimate Oscar's ability to do these things. And I'm a guy who knocks Oscar as a disruptor for deals, but at the same time, I mean, I'm telling you, man, he knows this business.
Well, I kind of understand where Oscar, he doesn't have a huge stable, and he's not going to let one of his star fighters just dip like a minute before they're about to fight in the biggest fight of their career. I understand where Oscar's coming from. I understand where Merigian was coming from, because he's like, all right, I can see this fight slipping away, so let me try something here. He tried and it failed. And Oscar's like, you know what? Like, Virgil, if you do fight Boots, it's going to be with me. Because I've invested in you for years now. So we're the whole shakeout of that is that we're going to see Boots versus Zayas June 27th at the Barclays Center. And hopefully Fundora gets in the mix. That's what we're trying to get at here, right? The top four guys are all right there, and they're around the same age. And they're all fighting around the same time. So we should be able to see that. But you know how this business works. And I would not be shocked if Fundora fights Jermell Charlo. Not shocked at all. This summer, or late summer, Houston.
I'm gonna check out Polymarket and see what their betting line is for that.
This is a DraftKings podcast, but yeah, I agree. The markets.
Well, DraftKings doesn't bet on if a fight's going to happen. That's the only reason.
They will.
They should. They should get into it. They should also get into like how long Trump's inauguration speech is going to be, just like Polymarket. If
my
if
brother Dan just is, had it up, it's crazy. He was looking.
If
at
Dan like, is going to drop that ball during one of these episodes,
no,
you know,
I got this.
5-1 favorite. Yeah,
this thing's tight, tight. Yeah. So Fondora, I thought, fought within his means and did what he was supposed to do tonight. Keith didn't put up much of a fight. Fondora moves on, but after doing that to Keith Thurman, because Keith Thurman is a big name. And Fondora did say that after the fight to Jim Gray. I was nervous this morning because Keith is such a big name and this is a big fight for me. But now, as any elite fighter out there, there's going to come new pressures on Fondora. You have to fight we want to see you with an elite guy now. I want to see how you stack up with the top guys at 154 or even the top 10 at 154. Because Zhu isn't, and Thurman definitely isn't. So as impressive.
And Charlo's not.
I mean, these are names, yes. And that's PBC is, that's what how they survive is off of names. It's time for Fondora to get in there with a top 10 guy at the ring, you know, a ring rated top 10 guy or top 10, a consensus top 10 guy. Because you start peeling back Fondora's resume. We did this on Friday's episode. I mean, it's Zhu and it's Thurman and it's Lubin. The fight was a million years ago, the Lubin fight, and he hasn't.
And Cordell really, Booker.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's not the top level guy.
Five fights ago, he was getting starched by Brian Mendoza, who lost on the undercard, by the way.
Yeah, let's get into the undercard. That was some nasty stuff.
Also underwhelming.
Yuenli Hernandez, that dude's a beast.
He's a beast.
He is a problem. I really like him. He is going to be a big time. If he stays at 160. And 160 keeps playing out the way it's been playing out, and Adames leaves, he's the guy at 160.
The guy's got a neck like a fullback.
Yeah.
Shoulders and neck. And he's athletic. He's having fun in there. He's super talented. You know, and how do you say his name? Goucher? Is it Goucher? Gaucha?
I can't believe I don't know how to say it. He's fought how many PBC cards?
I know. He's fought
cards?
Everyone, and it's no respect.
15 years?
He's a great fighter.
They were saying Gaucher on the
broadcast. I've been saying Gaucher for a long time, but I've... No, I've...
That's what they were saying on the broadcast.
All right, Gaucher. It is Gaucher. So, we're going with Gaucher. And very tough guy. He's kind of like the litmus test for a lot of fighters as they step, you know, into that next range. But, like, he gave Zhu hell. He dropped him, but, you know, Zhu showed his class and was able to get past him. Obviously, this is an older version of him. But Yo-Yo is super talented. I really like what I see from him, and I think he's going to be a big problem. He reminds me of like a Carlos Adames, except more dynamic. And I think at 160, I think you're right. I think he's going to be a real problem.
Yeah, he's ranked number 2 right now on the ring.
At 60?
Yeah.
Wow.
So if Adames was to stay at 160... They could fight for the vacant ring title, but Adames is already moving up to 168. He said it last week. Maybe he'll stay. No one wants to fight Yoenli Hernandez.
No.
He offers very little financially, and he's an absolute beast. There's not many other names at middleweight. You know how bad middleweight is. Thought he looked good. Tellez got a win over Mendoza. Nasty headbutt early on in the fight.
He could have easily gotten out of that fight with that, and he chose not to and fought on against a tough guy. I was very impressed. Very, very impressed. I'm a fan of Tellez for taking that decision because he had an easy out.
Yes.
Getting paid either way. Didn't have to go on. Chose to go on and fought a very, very tough Brian Mendoza and was still very much in control and fought a very smart fight.
Absolutely. Part of me, I was watching that. I was like, he took like the full 5 minutes. It was like a head-on collision. A lot of blood.
I mean, a fucking gallon of blood was on the canvas.
And their corner did a phenomenal job. Didn't bleed for the rest of the fight. But you're right. I thought when he took the full 5 and he looked dazed, I was like, okay. Well, a lot of fighters are not going to be able to go on with the fight. And you're going to get no decision. And that's that. No. He definitely won over a lot of the crowd. He won over a lot of fans. And he's looked good since that loss to Barral. That was the undercard. First fight of the night, the Goog heavyweight stopped. Had a nice win there, too. So, yeah, it was a fun card. PBC, PBV.com. But we want to see
Earl Newman Jr. upset over Elijah Garcia.
Huge. I'm so pissed I didn't bet that. That was the one I was looking at. Did you see Roy Jones's corner work?
So I was working the Pro Box TV show, so I did not see the fight. It's but going viral. If you would have asked me, I would have told you that Earl was going to win. I've been speaking to Earl this week. We used to spar back in Vegas 10 years ago. And Elijah is another guy that I've called a bunch of his fights, and he's just so up and down. And I know that, not Earl, that Newman Kevin. Has been, Kevin, I said Earl.
That was the same way. Earl, maybe is that
Earl Newman's
nickname?
Earl Newman's, Earl's another Newman that is from New York. But Kevin, yes, he is a guy that I've talked to over the years and really, really good, really, really good dude, and has been looking for his moment. And this week we were talking, and I'm like, hey, man, this is a really good fight for you. I'm excited for you. And he's like, it's my time. And you saw him at the weigh-in. They look like they're in two different weight class. Kevin looked jacked and heavy and strong, and Elijah was just, you know, he looked
and he
flat.
Missed weight, Elijah.
And
this
he missed
was
weight.
At 172.
Yeah.
Second time he's done that, and this guy, Elijah Garcia, they had such high hopes for him, PBC. He beats Resendez. And then he
knocked him out. He knocked him out. It's crazy.
And then he loses, you know, back to back or
to Kyron Davis. Kyron Davis, he loses to.
And now
which
Kevin
is,
Newman.
Yeah.
Who you spar? I mean, no offense. He's old.
Which, yeah. Yeah.
But exactly. Roy had a phenomenal moment. It's gone viral. You're getting bitched out. That's what he said when the fight was slipping away. Awesome moment.
Awesome.
Like moment. Roy's defining trainer moment. He obviously had so many moments because, you know, he's not the best trainer. Like, he's never going to become close to what he was in the ring. It's like weird when you see a fighter that talented become a coach. Like, you very rarely see, like, Larry Bird became a really good head coach in the NBA. But, like, Wayne Gretzky was a horrendous NHL coach. So when you see a guy as good as Roy in the corner, it's like, do what I did in my career. You know, jump, do Superman blindfold.
Well, Kevin's the only guy who actually does things Roy used to do and actually does them well. Like, a lot of his style actually does mimic Roy. He just doesn't have the power, the speed, he doesn't, a lot of things. Stuff.
But you know what I mean? Like, Roy has had some great moments as a trainer, but like, this is going to go viral. I should live on for a long time. It's the new We Are Firemen.
Yeah,
moment.
With Tim Bradley and Teddy Atlas.
And some of the other ones? You can't handle your
speed. Blowing it. You're
son.
Blowing it, kid. The famous, the most famous of all time. You're blowing it, kid.
You're blowing it. And then he, Freddie Roach to Pacquiao. He can't handle your speed, son. So there have been some phenomenal moments in the corner, but it's really cool to see Roy. And then it was an upset. I think he was plus 280 underdog. Newman.
Yeah, I wanted to bet that. But I couldn't. DraftKings was not working for me in California, so I couldn't make bets on any of the cards tonight, which I would have won a bunch on Pro Box.
You would have lost on that Thurman bet, though.
What was
my bet on
Thurman?
You're going to spread the KO.
Oh, that's yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
I missed out on Atalma, which we're going to get to right
by
now.
By sprinkle, I was going to put $20. Yeah. by the way.
I put this is what I was going to do. I was getting down to a very small amount in my DraftKings account. So I was like, whatever I have left, I'm putting on a Talma rounds 3 and 4. If that wins, then I'll put it on Thurman. And I lost because Talma knocked out in the fifth round. I missed it
that
by
was
a damn round.
Brutal, dude.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
So I was actually watching that during the Pro Box TV podcast, telecast. Like, we was like right before we started, and then a little bit into our first fight, and I'm looking at it, I'm watching it with Paulie, and I'm pointing, because Atalma was breathing really hard at the round two. And I'm like, whoa. I'm like, this guy blow his load? Like, what's going to happen? No, he's just a big, super athlete. He's really a nightmare to deal with, and goddamn, he can punch.
Bro, people forget, or not forget, or he's 6'5".
I forget. I kept saying to Paulie, I'm like, I forgot how big he is.
He's
like, 6'5".
Like,
to be that athletic
five,
and that big, he's a big guy.
240, because you look at him, he's so fast. His speed, he should not be that fast.
Should not be that fast. Way too athletic, way too fast. It's crazy.
He is a freaking demon. Like, Moses Atalma is a demon. We're watching a demon. We're watching a phenom. We're watching the future of heavyweight boxing. He stops Jermaine Franklin. Franklin's never been down, never been stopped. He stopped him. He said, I wanted to get the knockout earlier, but I went back to basics. And Franklin wasn't really participating in this fight. He was not throwing a lot. And as you know, if you watch a lot of boxing, it's very hard to knock out a stationary target that's not throwing. So Atalma had to generate all that on his own. And it was a phenomenal uppercut. And I think Franklin was out on his feet, and they got hit with another shot on the way down. But Atama's a problem. This was a huge statement. I understand Franklin is not coming in, wasn't looking to win. And, you know, Atama was supposed to win. But there's a lot of pressure when you're supposed to win a fight. And the whole entire arena is there to watch you have a spectacular knockout. And then you deliver one at age 21. Freak. Boxing's in good hands.
Yes. If he is the future of heavyweight division, and we always say that the boxing lives and dies by the heavyweight division, it matters tremendously for the health of the sport. Yes, it's in good hands because Moses Atama is the total package. And this was a really impressive victory. I was a guy that was saying, hey, Benjamin Franklin, man. Ben Franklin. Jermaine Franklin is a guy.
This man that created electricity.
Yeah, I mean, he created electricity, and he still
turned the lights
still,
on.
Still got put his lights put out. No, so yeah, he's a guy that I was always impressed with the way that he fought Anthony Joshua. He took it to him. He was outgunned. He had a guy with major firepower. He fought Dillian White, who could also really punch. So it's a guy. He's durable at least. He throws a lot of punch. He got fast hands. He was a world champion actually in the amateurs. And then Moses Atama, who has has like 20-something amateur fights, goes out there and, 14 pro fights and looked as good as he did, controlling the space, fought hard, got pushed a little bit, put him down, finished him with a brilliant highlight reel knockout with the uppercut. He is a motherfucking problem.
Big-time problem, bro. And, yeah, he did what he was supposed to do, and he delivered. That's the most important thing. He delivered. Maybe there's some pressure on him heading in. And he actually said that after the fight. He said, I did something that a lot of British fighters couldn't do to this opponent. Subtle shot.
That's what you're looking for.
Yeah, subtle shot. He didn't mention AJ by name. He didn't mention the other was...
Dillian White.
He didn't mention him by name, but we knew what
he already destroyed Dillian in a round, so...
Yeah. So, he gets the win at Talma. And then afterwards, this fight was a foregone conclusion. It was just a matter of how many rounds. Like, it's under the 6.5, not the third or fourth round. I lost my bet. One's in the fifth. And then we get to the post-fight interview, which I thought Ade Aladipo did a phenomenal job with. Like, let's just get right to it. Who's next? So, Frank Warren says that Atama will fight in July. And that he will fight for a world title by the end of the year. So if Usyk's tied up with Verhoeven and Wardley is tied up with Dubois, so I mean, those are the title fights. So are we going to see another type of Franklin opponent in July for Atama? He said he wanted Hergovic, but Hergovic is fighting Dave Allen for some reason.
Yeah.
So I'm curious about what we're going to see next, because that's all we want to see is like him gradually step it up. Will it be another Franklin type opponent because they foresee a title shot in the end of the year, which he's now ranked number one in two different organizations?
I want to see him with a young guy. I want to see him against Richard Torres.
Yeah,
that's the fight I want. I want Torres Richard Torres
fighting
next.
Frank Sanchez for the IBF mandatory position.
If Frank Sanchez's knee doesn't explode,
yeah. Every day,
I want to see Richard Torres and Moses Atama. I want to see him a young, hungry guy who's going to bring it, because Richard will. He's already called him out. I tip my hat to Richard. He wants all the smoke with the toughest guy in the division that everyone's talking about. That's exactly how I want young heavyweights to move. So that's the fight that I want next, which I think will prepare him. I got to see him with a young guy. I got to see him with a young, hungry guy, because we haven't seen that yet. We've seen him, you know, starting to take out the old guys, and he does it in a spectacular fashion. I want to see him with a young guy who's got a lot to lose, who's undefeated, who doesn't know how to lose, and that's Richard Torres.
Do you think Queensberry would do that, given the scenario? Like, I'll be talking about this on Friday's episode. I said Atama isn't your... It's a huge risk. I would love to see that fight.
It'll probably be Jared Anderson, because he was just signed to Queensberry, and that's another. It fills the category that I just said. A young guy with a good record, who's talented, who's also, you can introduce him to an American audience. So Jared Anderson would fill that, I think.
Oh, if Atama comes over here, that would be nice.
Yeah, you stage a fight in Vegas with Jared Anderson and Moses Atama. You introduce American audiences to Moses Atama. He has to defeat a guy like Jared Anderson, who looks the part, fights the part, talks the part that American audiences are familiar with. You know, he took a loss to Bacoli, but yeah, I think that's he's, you know, he's had wins since then.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he needs to fight a young guy, an American guy, and either one of those guys fits the bill, but Queensberry just signed Jared. Yeah. You think they're not signing him to feed him to Atama? Atama's the future.
I don't think it will be Torres. I think Torres is going to go that IBF route, and I think it's too risky because, like we said on Friday's show, Atama's being moved so much. It's so, being moved so much differently than a 21-year-old 14-fight guy.
Yeah.
He's already number one in two different organizations. So like he's going to hold
careful
on to
what
that
you wish for.
Yeah, I would like to see him fight the Wardley Dubois winner. I mean, they pretty much said, like, oh, he's not going to fight Wardley because they're stable mates. They're both trained by Ben Davis, and I that's not confirmed, but we're already hearing that nonsense. If Dubois gets past Wardley, you can see Dubois versus Atama. Caballero is the WBC mandatory in the interim, so he's holding on hope to fight Usyk. And then you have the names that I liked is ranked 4, 5, and 6 in the Ring Magazine right now, right ahead of Atama. At 7, that's Hrgović, Zhang, Bacoli. Any 3 of those, I'd be fine with.
Bacoli.
And Atama said, I wanted Hrgović for this fight right here, but he's fighting Dave Allen, which is a complete waste of time. Atama, Bacoli, Atama, Zhang. Now, it doesn't exactly fall into your young guy category, but Bacoli's 32. Zhang's 42. Still tests. Names.
Tests. You're still keeping him in the old guard, but they're more difficult than a Franklin, because Franklin's test was his chin, because he's not a puncher. Zhang's test is his punch, because
yeah,
he's a puncher.
Yep.
So here, you know, Dillian White was the first test of the puncher. How does he deal with a puncher? But I think White was way past his prime, and I think he was chinned already. Mm-hmm. Zhang, he's been stopped. Got stopped to the body, you know. It's another incremental test, one that I think that Atama passes brilliantly, but very, very possible. Zhang is also willing to fight anybody. I know that about him and his team, especially at this stage of his career. Don't hate it. Bacoli, another test of a guy who can punch. He's also durable, not maybe that durable because Parker's starched him, and Parker's not a puncher. But
how about Parker?
Parker's a very stiff challenge.
Is he suspended? I have no idea what's going on with that.
Yeah, that's really fallen by the wayside in terms of the news minute. That's a very stiff challenge. That's a
test
big
positive
step
for
up.
Cocaine, and then just is gone.
Yeah. Also, that's all right. I'm gonna go. Who cares?
Yeah,
it's
no,
not
no
a performance enhancing drug. It's a party drug. If anything, it hurts you. Like, who cares? You shouldn't have a 2-year ban for fucking coke. You shouldn't have a year ban. Like, I don't know. Just
I think Parker's too risky for Tom at this stage.
I do too. I think he's way too much experience.
Coley is actually perfect.
It's a tough fight too, though. Very tough fight. I think Zhang is an easier next incremental Zhang step where people are still going to be like, yeah, it's a step up, but like, because you're seeing how they're moving him. They're moving him very smart. Frank Warren is very smart.
Oh, dude, he's got already, every heavyweight.
He's cornered the market on heavyweights.
Good God.
Which is a brilliant move because obviously very public, his problems with Turkey and Ring and Zuffa. Frank's a bad guy to have as an enemy.
He has cornered
the market on the heavyweight division. What are you going to do with your heavyweights now? He's got the young, he's got the middle, he's got the old. What are you going to do?
He's got them all. He really has. He's got Caballero, he's got Fury to a degree.
Wardley, Dubois. He's got the good future of the heavyweight division in Talma. Like, come on.
Imagine having he probably burns Eddie that he doesn't have a Talma. Atama is clearly like the next ticket seller. I don't know if he'll ever hit the Wembley status. I mean, they're talking about it.
Dan, he is going to be the future of the heavyweight division.
He's just not like, yes, he's obviously a phenomenal prospect in the ring. Does he have like the charisma?
Doesn't need it. He's so goddamn good.
Yeah,
he's
so
matter.
Good. He doesn't really matter. Like AJ, you got blinded by the charisma.
He just uppercutted Franklin's head off.
That was
like
sick.
The guy's never been down. He decapitated him. Went down like a video game. Like, no,
that guy. It
was crazy. It doesn't matter.
He should. I hope he does. I'm really rooting on him to do that because boxing desperately needs it. Even if it's not an American, I wish he was American, but he's not. So
look at Usyk. Usyk's, you know, profile. Usyk's like personality. It took him a long time to break through. He just beats everybody. You beat everybody, yeah. And Usyk beats everybody by like incremental, like. Itama knocks their heads off. Like,
that's huge. That's such a big difference. You're right. Yeah. Because on the broadcast, they said, there is no one that fights like Itama in the heavyweight division. There is no one like Itama. And I'm like, does Usyk retire? Or Usyk die? Because I know... unless they means like Usyk wasn't as powerful. Or
yeah,
Usyk,
no, he's not explosive, yeah.
But he still has fair share of knockouts, Usyk.
He does, especially lately. But
in cruiserweight, yeah. Too. And yeah, heavyweight.
I mean, the way he knocked out Belyu...
Oh my God! Sent them
guys asleep on the bottom rope.
Yeah, so I'm glad you brought up Usyk because I don't think we're ever going to see Itama versus Usyk. I just don't think their timelines are going to.
I don't think we see Wardley Usyk. I don't think we see Itama Usyk. I don't think we see Ajit Kabayel Usyk. Honestly,
that's the discussion because Itama's jumping the line here. I have people in my mentions saying it's Itama Usyk right now, 1-2. In the heavyweight division. I just don't see it happening. I just don't think their timelines are on pace to see each other. I think Usyk is going to fight maybe one more fight after Verhoeven, two if we're lucky, and it's just not going to be Itama. So I have no problem, or I do have a problem because I want to see it, but I think Itama isn't going to get that passing of the torch moment. We're not going to see a Joshua and a Klitschko type of fight where it happens in the ring. I think Usyk will retire, and then Itama will take over the reins.
Yeah, I agree. I think we see Usyk one more time after Rico, and it's going to be Tyson Fury.
Then we can rightfully judge Usyk because the jury's still
out. No, we can't. We consider him retired. That's all. We just consider him done, and we go on to the next up and coming guys. We go on to Wardley. We go on to Dubois. We go on to the next guard. The next guard is Wardley, Kabayel, Dubois. Itama, and there's nothing wrong with that.
That's pretty good. That's why I'm a little
upset. Yeah, it's pretty fucking good,
because
yeah.
It's like, oh, he fought everyone, he cleared everyone out, beat him twice, he's allowed to have a cash grab fight. Yes, you are allowed to have a cash grab
fight. Well, he's got Rico, that's his cash grab fight. Yes, and then he's got fight.
What does he do after that, Usyk? We still have to wait and see. We can't fully eviscerate Usyk, because he's flirted with Caballero. Last week he had a quote. He said, maybe it's not Fury, maybe it's Caballero. He fights Caballero, then okay, yeah, it's not going to be Itama. I just don't see it. I would be absolutely shocked if Usyk fights Itama before the end of his career.
I'd be shocked if he fights Wardley, too. I know he's mentioned it on his thing. I don't see that. I don't see him fighting the winner of Wardley and Dubois. For one, Dubois wins, which he very well will.
Yeah, but
very,
I don't want to see
very
that.
Will may. No one cares to see that, so that doesn't happen. If Wardley wins, I don't think he fights Wardley. I think it's too dangerous of a fight. I don't think it's as big a profile as he's probably looking for.
Which is a more winnable fight, Caballero or Wardley?
Caballero by far.
Less, yeah, because Wardley's just got the one-hitter quitter.
He's way bigger. He's more athletic. Caballero had so much trouble with that Polish fighter. In the first two rounds of that fight, I was like, Usyk's going to eviscerate this guy. And then he came back with some awesome body shots. And Caballero's super fun. He's the Arturo Gatti of the heavyweight division. I love him. I'm not knocking him. But it just the style doesn't match up with Usyk.
What if Usyk ends his career? Verhoeven, Caballero, Itama. Legend.
Does he win them all? I don't know.
Yeah, I'll ask you right now. Usyk, Itama. How does that look?
He stops Rico. I think he actually stops Caballero, but by the time he gets to Itama, I don't know.
Because you got
to
figure he's going to be like 2 years. It could be a year and a half.
Yeah.
So Usyk, you know, he might not be able to move like he once did. And Itama is just getting better and better.
Listen, the kryptonite for Usyk is his body, and Caballero is the best heavyweight body puncher I've ever seen. Does that
too. Talking to Itama though.
I know, but he might even lose to Caballero in the way, is my point. It's like, if an older Usyk gets caught with the body shots of Caballero, like, does he make it through that?
But Itama in like a year and a half. Itama in 18 months versus Usyk in 18 months.
Itama in 18 months may be unstoppable. It's possible.
Guys, in WWE, if Vince McMahon was pulling the strings here, we get the Itama Usyk fight. It's like the biggest thing ever in the UK. The passing of the guard.
If there's been more of a Vince McMahon in boxing than Frank Warren, then let me know. Because he is
Frankie.
He is
with the bullet dent in his head.
Yeah, I mean he's from the movie Snatch. What was his name?
Taking on the Saudis. Bricktop. Taking on Eddie Hearn.
He's Bricktop from Snatch. Like you can't I love him. Like yeah, I mean Frank probably feeds people to pigs. Like he's that much of a badass gangster.
We don't have a lot of guests on this show. I would have Frank Warren on our show.
I would love to have tea with Frank Warren. That would be high a tea very cool afternoon. I wouldn't even to film it. I would not. No one needs to see it. I just want to hang out with Frank Warren.
Hear his stories, right? Because like Hearn just sucks up so much of the attention over there, and over here it's you know all the promoters we got here. Then you got Frank Warren just.
Frank 40. Is the old guard. Frank is like Bob Arum, Don King, Frank Warren. Like that's same that ilk. Guard. Same ilk. And they're the most interesting people. Bob Arum's the most interesting man I've ever met in my life. I would like to see if maybe it's Frank.
Where Frank stands Frank there? Where Frank where he stands. Yeah.
Frank, if you ever hear this, which you never will, I'd love to have tea with you.
He might. You never know. Good episode. Good times. Boxing world is starting to really get into overdrive here. So Fundora wins. Moses Atamba wins. We move on to next week where we got Wilder and Chisora. And then we move forward in April. Some bangers in April. So a lot of good things. Christian, heading east.
Yeah, I got an early flight tomorrow in like a couple hours. Go back home. I've been on the road 12 days.
That's nuts.
12 days living out of the same suitcase. I've done two loads of laundry. I bought things along the way. I threw things out along the way. I threw out shirts, underwear. I bought underwear. I bought socks. I threw out a pair of sneakers. You know, I'm just...
Made memories, though.
Made
money.
Not really. Made money. Yeah, I made money.
Made memories. I think I did eight days in Florida, and I was ready to... I got COVID. I was ready
to... At least you're in the same place. I went from San Bernardino. I went to San Antonio. I went to L.A. I went to Long Beach. Yeah.
The San Antonio part is... That was a crazy side quest. Would you did an MMA event?
I did an MMA event with streamers. I've been in four hotels. Four. Luckily, two of them had laundry, so that helped. But
all right, Chris. Time to say goodbye. We're right in the middle of it, and your internet crapped out. Now you're back. And now you're ready to leave.
Yeah, I'll be home tomorrow. It's fine. We're gonna have good Wi-Fi from now on. I'm sorry, guys.
Chris Algieri, the traveling man, did a great job via hotels, trains, planes, and automobiles. We'll be back on Thursday with another episode of Inside Boxing. Keep your hands up at all times. Protect yourself at all times. Stay out of those DMs. We're out.